And we're going to bring in my podcast partner from the Robot or Not podcast and Casey's podcast partner, of course, from the Accidental Tech podcast. He is the man, the legend, John Syracuse. Hello, John.
Hey, guys.
How's it going?
Jinx.
Pretty good.
It's like we're on podcast with you. Well, we need to do some compliments. So, Casey, you want to compliment John?
I would love to compliment John. I would love to compliment John on being the internet's favorite person, because I got to tell you, there is so much enthusiasm for all things John Syracuse. It is astonishing. And I think it's deserved, but it is still astonishing. I have been lucky enough to podcast with John for a decade plus, and I'm still just astounded by how much everyone loves John Syracuse. And again, I don't mean to imply that it's not fair or deserved or anything like that, but the love is real and it is strong.
That's very nice. John, now give Casey a compliment.
I think Casey has been a really good sport throughout this entire podcast-a-thon, sacrificing his body, his ego, everything, leaving it all out there on the field to help
kids. That's right.
And very proud of Casey representing our show, going out there, getting the job done.
Thanks, John. Yep. And you can go to stgeo.org/relay in order to donate more.
Thank you for the request for compliments, including from George, who sent in a $250 donation and asked us for compliments. I like the positivity of that.
Yeah, me
too. Isn't that nice? Mm-hmm. John, I've got some... For people who don't know, John and I do a podcast on the incomparable called Robot or Not. It is an unusual podcast. Every 2 weeks, we drop an episode. It runs between 1 and 10 minutes long. It's a very short podcast. Some would call it infuriating. But we started out defining what a robot was or not, and now we just answer questions, or John answers questions, about what things are or aren't. And so many people write into robot@theincomparable.com mm-hmm. that I have a backlog of literally hundreds of topics. So last year here, Stephen and I did a lightning round with John of Robot or Not topics.
I'm in.
And I think it's time to do it again. John, are you ready?
I am.
All right. Listener Charles wrote in and said, a news report recently indicated a former coach's lawyer had submitted a 106-page letter indicating intent to sue. When it's 106 pages long, can it still be called a letter? Or is it simply a document? When is something a letter?
It's still a letter. Yeah. Like, there's no length restriction. It's just a very, very long letter. It doesn't become a novel or an encyclopedia or something
or
else.
Or a document.
But documents are different. Like, this is a letter. It is sent to communicate something from one person to the other. It's like an email, but on paper, kids.
Weird.
That's very backwards.
So as long as it's got like a form of address at the end and a salutation at the beginning.
It is a communication. It is a paper-based communication. Oh. It's just a very long one.
All right. That Michigan State coach got fired.
May I ask you?
Fired, by the way.
May I ask you? It was 100 and what pages?
106 pages.
106 pages. John, at what level is it too much? Is it 5 pages? 100 pages? What is too much?
He might have like double spaced it and messed with the margins and used like a really big font.
Big font.
Right?
Yeah.
You know.
It's a classic. Classic maneuver. All right, John. Moving on. This is from listener Toby. An iMac, the modern atypical all-in-one, is a computer and monitor in one with the mouse and keyboard as peripherals. However, a Commodore 64 is a computer and keyboard in one with a monitor as a peripheral. Was the Commodore 64 an all-in-one? And does it matter which peripheral is included and which ones are external?
No, it was not an all-in-one, and yes, it does matter. All-in-one is meant to describe the computers that have the monitor built in. That's the origin of the term, even though you can argue based on the literal meaning of the words, that's not the way language works. All-in-one has to have the monitor. Sorry, Commodore 64 and
wow.
VIC-20.
Wow.
Let me interrupt very briefly.
Yes, please,
friend of the program, show, network, Jeremy Burge, $3,250, and this was mostly to give Mike a break. We do owe him an impromptu haiku. It is your choice if we do that now or we do that later.
And remind me again, haiku?
757? No.
575?
You can watch Jason counting in his head when he does this.
I can't. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. John Syracuse. Is it a robot or not? Tell us, please.
And thanks.
And thanks.
See, we got
You're
there.
Supposed to, like,
we got there.
Mention nature at some point too, I think.
Maybe. Maybe. John, Darren writes, when is a date a date? Is any time alone with your partner classed as a date, or does it only apply if you express that you are going on a date? What about location? Does a date have to include an activity like a meal at a restaurant or a movie? Can just going for a ride in the car to escape the world for a couple of hours be a date? Is a walk around the neighborhood a date if you don't say out loud, let's go on a date?
Date requires intent. You could be doing the same exact activity, and it could be a date in one scenario and not a date in another, and the difference is intent, saying, let's have some time together, let's go on a date, let's do a thing together. That's a date. It's all about the intent. If you don't say that at all and you just go walk around the block, not a date.
All right.
I'm going to interrupt you again because I'm that guy. Do you notice how incredibly dark John's hair is? I am several years younger than John, and I am going fairly gray. With respect, sir. With respect, sir, you are a little bit more gray than either of us. John, it's those Italian jeans, man. I'm very jealous.
Yeah, I'm told that I have gray in my beard, but I don't believe it.
That's right. That's why I shave. I don't want to know. Right. I don't want to know. John, you got a little little bald spot, though, right? Don't you?
I do, yeah. My hair's not gray, but it is departing.
That's right. Well, I always said that I'd rather be gray than bald, and I got that one.
Yeah, your wish.
Yeah.
All right, John, this is a good one. This is from listener Ted. It's about pasta. Are udon noodles pasta? What about ramen? Yakisoba? Pad Thai? Is macaroni a noodle? Tortellini? Lasagna? Ravioli? What about wontons? Dumplings? Help us, we're confused.
So, I don't know the language origins of the word pasta, but these days it's mostly referring to the Italian variety, but there's tons of other noodle-based things and other, other nationalities. You could, if you squint, lump those things into pasta, but it's just the same way as you could lump every single Italian pasta into noodles if you wanted. I would not apply the term pasta to things like udon. So I say no, udon is not pasta, but I understand why people would want to do that if they don't have a generic word for it.
So good news, John. I actually just listened to a podcast about the history of Italian food. It's The Rest is History. It's a great podcast. They did an episode about Italian food. Pasta, the origin is, it's pressed noodles. And a few little tidbits for you that will make you happy, I think. One of them is people talk about how like Marco Polo brought pasta from China, and that's how the Italians learned about it. It's not true. That was made up by an American pasta company when they were trying to sell pasta to Americans in the early 20th century.
Of course. Also, advertising.
The pasta in Italy predates the contact with any contact possible with Chinese pasta, so they were separate, parallel inventions. And also, in the past, in the original meaning of pasta, something like tortellini, which was a thing stuffed inside a pasta, would not be considered a pasta because it was a thing that used pasta. And similar to lasagna would not be considered a pasta. It was a dish that had some pasta in it. So
lasagna is not considered pasta now.
Well, by monsters. It's considered.
I mean, the lasagna noodles are a form of pasta, but you're not just eating them. The entire lasagna is not a pasta dish.
That's fair. I agree. Alfie, $100, thank you so much. And Josh Dick, $200 with the comment. ATP!
ATP. Well, we're 2 out of 3. That's not bad.
Not bad.
John, Ryan wants to know this. He said, I was walking with my fiance in Cambridge the other day when we walked past an antique store. I asked her, what do you think is the average age of the stuff in there? Her answer surprised me. She said, 1980. I told her, that's not antique, that's retro. But that led down another rabbit hole about what the cutoff is for describing something as retro. So, John, what is an antique, and when does something seemingly brand new in our minds suddenly become retro? Because 1980, as we all know, was about 10 years ago.
Correct.
So.
Yeah, 20 years. 1980 was 20 years
20
ago.
20 years ago. You're right. I
think people who own antique stores have a more firm opinion on this, but
I always heard 50 years is an antique. But
yeah, like I feel like that is close to the range. And unfortunately for us old folks, we are getting to the point where things that we had in our childhood that were bought new at the time
antiques.
Are now approaching antique age. Yeah.
John, does Massachusetts have antique car plates? Do you know what I mean? Like, you can get a special plate.
They do.
Do you know what the cutoff is? Yeah. Do you know what the cutoff is?
I don't. I always see it on, like, Model A's and stuff, so I can't tell how far forward it goes, you know?
Yeah, because I feel like Virginia absolutely has antique plates. I want to say it's only, like, 25, 30 years. I forget the exact dividing line, but it's not that far.
Are we in neutral now? What about... What about, oh, so James Thompson has written in to say the Commodore SX64 was an all-in-one. You should know this, John.
And he spent $10 to get this message to you.
I wasn't asked about this, the SX64. Is it some weird, like, UK-only computer? We don't know.
Probably. Maybe
it
had a monitor.
Sinclair, Spectrum, whatever.
Yeah, we don't even know what those things are. What about retro? What about the use of retro? Is retro intentionally old, or is that like meant to evoke something old? What do you think?
I think you can have a retro like design aesthetic where you're going to make things look like the 80s, for example, and some of those could be new things, but some of them could actually be things from the 80s. So I think retro is more of a style you're going for and not a label that you would put on a particular item, because if someone made a brand new slap bracelet today, like it was just manufactured, it's still retro.
All right.
Well, I have another quick answer to your question.
Please do.
The camera people are taking a well-deserved break, so they can't zoom in. But I've got socks on that have vinyl records on them. I know that's hard to see. Does that make my socks retro or antique or just not up to your approval?
Makes them retro, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Right, because they're saying, hey, like, if you had Commodore 64,
It depends. It depends on, because I know all the youngsters are into vinyl now because they don't know better.
Oh.
And so it could be that that you are actually like with the times and trendy, but then you could also argue that the part of the current young people's obsession with vinyl is itself a retro thing. So it's tough to say. But for you wearing them, yes, it's a retro thing.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right. Berndt writes, is a nightmare a dream? When does a dream turn into a nightmare? Is something you wish to achieve in life a dream? Do you need to be asleep to dream? Is a daydream a dream?
Dream, I think, is the generic term. So, yes, a nightmare is a really bad dream.
Bad dream.
But it's still a dream. Do you need to be asleep to dream? Yeah, because if you're not, it's called a daydream. That's why we put the qualifier on it. What was the other part of that question?
Is a dream a thing that you want? Dream is a thing that you want to do, just as an aspiration.
That is another definition of the word, not to be confused with the thing that goes on in your head while you're sleeping.
I think that's fair. It's a metaphorical, right? It's like it isn't an actual dream. It's just we use it as a metaphorically about that. Okay, and let's see. I'm looking here. There are so many. Oh, here's a good one. This is great. Michael says, how short does a shower have to be for it to be a quick shower? My quick ones are 2 or 3 minutes long, and the long ones are 7 or 8. But I hear John listens to podcasts in the shower. I can't imagine how long he spends there. So what is a quick shower? What's your median shower length, John? If you need to get somewhere and you've got to calculate out your shower time, what is the number you use?
I do have a number, but I use it for the time from when I start walking upstairs to go to the shower to the time that I'm walking downstairs, having finished showering, put on all my clothes, done all my things or whatever. So that time, the sort of door-to-door time, including all of the things in between and everything, 30 minutes.
Wow.
That's more significant than I would have expected.
I didn't realize you were so fussy. I'm a 15. 15 minutes.
I can't get it done in 15. It takes too long. And I do spend a while in the shower, but not that long.
Like
I can probably, and because I'll start playing the podcast before I've even turned on the water, obviously, so the clock is ticking. I can get through 15 minutes of a podcast. I'm probably under the water for 10 minutes. I take long showers. How fast is a quick shower? I would say anything sub 5 is a pretty quick shower. Like a water running, you know, sub 5, right? Because that's the whole thing. Like lots of people have, you know, how long does it take you to get all your stuff ready, get all the stuff, you know, like get everything arranged, get your podcast on, restart the Sonos Roam because the audio skipping bug is still there, restart your phone because it's still not working, then restart the Roam again, then reset the media thing. Like, I should time how long it takes me to get audio to play out of my Sonos Roam. Sorry, Sonos, to throw you under the bus. I know you got a lot of problems right now, but the original Sonos Roam still plays skipping audio over AirPlay. Anyway, that takes time, right? And so does getting dressed afterwards and combing your hair and all that stuff.
That's very nice. Brian Warren, a friend of the show, $100, says he's positive, almost positive he's retro, and hopefully not an antique. Thank you. And Anthony, also $100. Thank you. One more. This is for all the people out there like Casey who think today is 29/24 instead of 9/20/24. Johnny from the UK writes, John, do you prefer to use the 24-hour time format on your personal electronic devices or 12-hour and why?
People who use the 24-hour time format on their devices are kids who thought it was cool when they were young because they learned it was called military time and they never grew out of it. No, I don't. I use
a new player has entered the chat.
Enough of that.
Camera 4. There you go.
And Casey, do you use 24-hour time, Mr.?
I do not.
Okay, so you're using UK-style...
Dates,
but not times.
Correct. I cannot wrap my mind around it.
I'm just going to point out something about the UK, which is what's delightful about them is their inconsistency, because sometimes they'll say 14:30, and another time they'll say 2:30 p.m.
Rarely people say the military time.
They just display
it. They just convert it, because we're smart like that.
Right, right. Yeah. And you've got like metric, but also like everything's in yards and miles.
Yeah, but don't worry about that.
Yeah, okay, so this is it. It's fine. Well, John, thank you so much
yes,
for being here.
Yes, thank you very much.
ATP.fm and theincomparable.com/robot. Well, there's hundreds of episodes like this that you can listen to. And they're real short, so I think you'll really enjoy it if you enjoyed getting a kick out of us asking really annoying questions to John tonight.
And
so
forgive me, those two URLs are important, but the most important of all
is stjude.org/relay.
Thank you so very much. And thank you, John, for appearing with us. We really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.